This we believe. In an ongoing observation of the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation, we are presenting an overview of those confessional documents that make up the Book of Concord. Today we consider the formula of Concord, the epitome. The devil deceived Eve in a most unassuming manner. A question: has God indeed said? Throughout church history, Satan has continued to deceive not only by direct lies, but also through the more subtle form of questions. And the Lord has consistently delineated between truth and error by the sharp edge of his powerful word. Shortly after Luther's death in 1546, several questions arose. Could the Reformed mean the same thing we do, in essence, only with different words? Does not the will of man have some part in conversion? Could there not be some concession made with Rome to maintain at least an outward peace? These are the kind of questions any Christian might wrestle with, but they threaten the unity God establishes by his word when he requires that his church glorify him with one mind and one mouth, as it says in Romans 15, verse 6. Some pastors of Lutheran churches were removed from office for overstating their opinions as matters of binding doctrine. Others sought out like-minded allies rather than treating all brethren as equal. Such suspicion and sin, if left unresolved, could only tear Lutheranism apart into sects of mutual overreaction, or spoil the pure Lutheran confession with the delusion of compromise. In 1576, Elector August of Saxony gathered 17 Lutheran theologians to address the various rumors and gossip of divisions within the fellowship. For a year, a subcommittee labored to produce a formal resolution. Their Torgau book was an eloquent settlement to controversies in sermon form. But August envisioned a more accessible document, one any man could pick up and read, and thereby understand where his church stood. He tasked Jakob Andrea with the formulating of this concise confession, the epitome. For each point of controversy, Andreae used a thesis-antithesis approach to contrast God's truth and man's error with resonant clarity, following the example of the Apostle John. By this you know the Spirit of God, John's thesis. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. His antithesis, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is found in 1 John 4, verses 2 and 3. The articles of the formula of Concord, original sin, long gospel, the Lord's Supper, and so forth, might seem like confirmation material. But the devil loves to attack the most basic doctrines that he might ensnare young and old alike. Error will continue to intrude itself until Christ's return, as the devil asks that same first question in different words. But the epitome shows how the Spirit turns Satan's wily efforts upside down, by the resulting confession of truth. Those who are approved may be recognized among you. 1 Corinthians 11:19. This is the way our God, who settled the greatest of conflicts, the schism between sinful mankind and his righteous Creator, when the strange and bitter strife of the cross gave way on Easter morn to a triumphant resurrection, and therefore forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. Some Christians think there is something wrong with them if they have a question. Questions will come. The real danger is letting them fester unresolved. Bring them to Bible study, family devotion, your pastor, or a fellow member. God has given you a fellowship for that very reason. Don't fear sharing your doubts. You will be calmed and strengthened when your questions are resolved by God's clear word. This article was written by Timothy Daub, pastor of Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Heckel, South Dakota.